You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, y'all believe in miracles?
Yes.
I'm going to preach to you about 15, 20 minutes.
There you go.
Now, if that's not a miracle, I don't know what is.
I believe it.
See if I can wrap this up at 12 o'clock. I tell you, it's been good. We've heard some good word today. I mean, I've been ministered to. I have been in the presence of God. I am glad I came today. I'm better for having come to church. Hallelujah. You know, and that's what church is about. It's about getting close to God, moving you toward Him, closer to Him. It's about challenging you. It's about rebuke. That's good. I need to be rebuked if I'm in sin. I don't want to continue in sin. I want to be challenged. I want to be charged. And then I want to be changed. Hallelujah. By the power of God. You know, it's always two things. If you come to church hungry, and you come to church willing to be changed, you'll be okay. You'll be all right. You know, we ought to come to church with a hunger for God and for direction and for His presence and His touch, because it's about Him. It's not about, you know, it's not about the building. It's not about the lights, camera, action, you know. It's not about all that. Even the worship, it's not about how good the praise and worship team does. Worship's about worshiping God. It's about getting your attention and focus on Him. Hallelujah. And when we get in the Word, it's not about telling stories and hearing some good things in the Bible about Bible people. It's about finding out how to live.
Right.
Finding out who God is so we can act right and live right and pray right.
Yep.
Amen. And be the representatives that we should be. Hallelujah. So come hungry and come willing to be changed. Amen.
Amen.
Turn with me to John chapter 1. I've got to hurry now because I don't have a lot of time this morning. You know, the first missionary was a woman. You know that. I get tickled when people say, well, you know, the Bible says, let the women keep silent in the church. Well, first of all, the context of that was not women not speaking in church, because there were women that prophesied. In fact, the Bible even says how women should prophesy with their head covered and so on, with hair on her head, you know, basically. And then, of course, Philip had four virgin daughters that prophesied, the Bible says. Anna was a prophetess that, you know, that saw Jesus when he was a baby. So we know women ministered. I mean, come on. And I always get tickled when they say, let women keep silent in the church. I'm thinking, you try to keep them silent in the church. But, I mean, we're missing out on, many times in many churches, we're trying to hold on to that scripture, and that scripture is completely out of context. There's many places women ministered and so on, and where would we be? Where would I be without Brenda? You know, we're co-pastoring this church. Come on. I mean, she is anointed to preach and to teach and to pray and minister and, it may be some of the uniqueness of our church is because that's the way really it should be. Are you with me? And I sit down and just stand in awe and just soak up the anointing and what God's doing when she's ministering and different ones like Eva gave a prophecy. Sometimes Mari has a tongue and come on. I mean, we're all in this together. Amen.
Amen.
I know I'm in charge. I'm not intimidated. Brenna said I could say that. She told me it was okay to say that. I asked her before church. She said, sure, go ahead, say it. Yeah. John 1, if you found first chapter of John. We've been teaching on Sunday mornings on Jesus being the express image of God's person. That when you see Him, you see God. That there's not a question as to what God would do and what God's about and what how He looks at us, and because we have Jesus to go by. You know, I wonder what God would do. Well, I don't wonder what God would do. I know what He would do. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that shows us when God showed up and came on the scene, He went around blessing people and helping people and healing people and forgiving people. Are you with me? Now, I know there's a lot of trouble in the world. There's a lot of evil in the world. But the world is in rebellion to God. The world is lies in wickedness, the Bible says. Jesus even said that the devil was the ruler of this world. In other words, the powers of the air. He called him the thief. He said, the thief comes still, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. The Bible actually calls the devil the god of this world. Little g, not an eternal being. There's one creator, God, whom we serve. And he made the devil, but the devil rebelled against God. Are you out there? And so a lot of what goes on in the world that we attribute to God is really not God at all. It's the devil, and sometimes it's us. Adam sinned, and when Adam sinned, sin came into the world and death came into the world. People can be evil. People can be good or bad. You know, and so let's don't be blaming God for all that, all those tragedies and all those the evil in the world. God is good. And when Jesus hit the earth, he hit the earth running, helping people, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, stopping storms. He hit the earth, changing the destruction, turning around what the devil had done. In fact, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, 1 John 3:8, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, you know, you may not believe in a devil, but the Bible talks about one nonetheless. I'm not talking about bringing in the pitchfork and the pointed tail and the horns and everything, but there is a devil that Jesus combated in his ministry. And then the devil's still around and he hates you. And if you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at the devil. Don't get mad at God. Just because you hit your head when you got in that car and you slipped on that soap when you stepped in that shower, God's not got something against you. Do what? Nor was it his plan. He didn't plan for you to slip on that soap and get your back all out of shape. Okay. But we see Jesus and we see God. And what you see in Jesus, you don't see him going around beating people up. You don't see him around making people sick. You don't see Jesus going around starting storms and killing people. In fact, he went about, Acts 10:38, the Bible tells us this. Peter said this in Acts. He was preaching. And he said, we see how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Hallelujah. So we see an enemy out here. There's no one to be afraid of. I'm not saying we need to be afraid of the devil. This is not Hollywood. You know, in the Hollywood movies, the devil shows up and he always beats up the priest. But in reality, in the church, if we get a hold of who we are, we'll beat the devil up. He won't be beating us up. Amen. In fact, we got power over him. We can pray. We can change the situation. The real power is on our knees, praying in Jesus' name. And we see that in Jesus. Jesus showed us how to live and how to... He came and died for our sins. And incidentally, he came down here to overcome the devil, to take away his power, to take away the keys of hell and death from him. In fact, he arose from the dead with the keys of hell and death. Now when you and I die as Christians, you know what? We go straight to heaven. Before Jesus rose from the dead, the devil could hold our spirits. So what Scripture says, I mean, it's all through the Scripture. Jesus even talked about a rich man and a poor man that died, and they went to hell. One went to a good place, and the other went to a hot place, but they didn't go to heaven. But now when we die, we go to heaven because Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave. Amen. So we say he came to redeem us. He did. That was the main purpose. But to do that, he had to defeat the devil because there was an enemy down here. Yes. Jesus didn't come down here to defeat God. He didn't come down here and fight God. He came down here and fought the devil. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So it kind of changes your thinking. I know we often hear that God's in control of everything, but that's not a biblical concept. That's just a philosophical concept. That we get that from Greek philosophy. You're quoting Plato and Aristotle and Socrates there. I'm quoting the Word. Hello. Plato would have said something like that. I read a lot of Plato, you know, but, you know, Plato's not going to get you saved. And I hope your idea of God's not a Platonic idea of God. Or a Socratic idea of God. Or I can't even say it, an Aristotelian. I hope your concept of God's based on the Word, because Jesus didn't say things like that. He didn't come down here and say God's in control of everything. He didn't say that at all. He came down here taking control back from someone who stole it, who was the devil. And that's what we see in the earth today. We live in an evil world. We live in the dark world, and we are the lights of the world to go out and change this world, hallelujah, with prayer, faith, and the Word of God. And Jesus came on the scene, and he cleared up the picture for us. See, if you want to really understand the Bible, you have to understand Jesus, because the Bible is about Jesus. And we'll quote Scripture many times and think we've got truth going here, but many times we're quoting a Scripture out of context, or we're quoting something someone said in the Bible that wasn't necessarily God. It was recorded, and it was truly stated. They did say that. But not necessarily was it a true statement. I mean, Goliath said that he would kill David. It's truly stated he did say that. But you know that's not a true statement. Amen. Come on, I only got 10 minutes left. Y'all going to have to get with me here. Hey, Job said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, Job said that. That's in the Bible. That truly was stated. But you know what? That's not a true statement. You say, how do you know that? Because that's not what Jesus said.
That's right.
Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Well, now, wait a minute. We got a dilemma here. They can't both be true. Because they're mutually exclusive. They oppose each other. Job says, God takes away. Jesus said, the devil takes away. Well, I believe Job did say that. And I believe Job did everything he thought he was right. He wasn't right. In fact, God corrected him at the end of Job. And he repented of the things he said. He said, I said things about you I did not know. Just in the Bible. You ought to go read it. You know, you ought to read the Bible every once in a while. That's, you know, be good for you to do that. Because a lot of times we quote things because we just hear them. You hear that one a lot at funerals. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. God did take them away. God's received them into heaven, but death's something the devil does. Death's not something God does. Now, God's going to destroy it and take care of death, and it's the last enemy to be put underfoot. The last enemy to be put underfoot is death, the Bible says. Death's not a friend. It's an enemy. Anyone ever lost a loved one? It's not a friend. Our comfort comes from knowing they're in heaven. But that death was a bad deal. Nothing good about it. And don't be saying it's good. Don't say, well, that's just a good thing. If you can see it through God's eyes. Well, if I can see it through God's eyes, the Bible, I can find out real quick that's a bad deal. And there's coming a day there will be no more of that stuff. God's going to take care of that. He's going to take it all back. And the rebel, the devil, and everybody that does not know the Lord, everyone that is rebelling against God now, will be thrown into the lake of fire. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more dying. No more mosquitoes, chiggers, or red bugs. Nothing to harm anymore. That's God. That's God's will. That's what God does. God's good. And we see it in Jesus. Amen. And the clock is ticking. Notice what it says. Let me read some verses real quick here. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with Him. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Now, who are we talking about here? Jesus. We know that. Look at the 14th verse. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's Jesus. So Jesus was in the beginning as God. We know that. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They make up what we call collectively God, but there's a Son, and there's a Father, and there's the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the Trinity. It's real simple. Trinity, there's three of them that make up what we call God, and they're all God. And one of them became a man and dwelt among us, and that one was Jesus, the Son of God. So really, Jesus was the embodiment of the Word. He was the Word made flesh. So, you know, we can talk doctrine, we can discuss Scripture and theology, but when you see Jesus, He is the interpreter of Scripture. He is the embodiment of Scripture. He is the Word made flesh dwelling among us. Practically, I mean, not abstractly, not conceptually. Well, those are big words, aren't they? You know, but not philosophically, theologically, or ontologically. Okay? Not any of those logically's. Jesus comes along very simply in a picture, in a person. We see God. The Word comes together in Him. So I can try to interpret Scripture over here and try to use this Scripture and that Scripture and try to lay this one on you and that on you, but if it doesn't meet the Jesus test, I don't have the full meaning here. We didn't get the full meaning of God until Jesus came. We didn't get the full picture of God until He came. You know, I could draw you a little stick figure of Brenda. That's Brenda. And you go, okay. But you think, well, you know, there's a place in Terrell for you. But anyway. Starbucks, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know what y'all are thinking. But then I could draw a better picture, maybe of Brenda. Still pencil, pen and ink, you know. Yeah, okay. And depending on my skills, I might be able to convey to you what she looks like. It's probably not too well. But then I could paint. I could paint a picture. I could get some oil and paint. And hey, you know what? I could take a picture. Now, that's getting pretty close. Take a picture. Hey, here's Brenda. Yeah, and she's mine, okay? Okay. But still, let me tell you something. And you know this is the case. You've seen pictures of people. And then you meet the person. And the concept maybe is different after you meet them. All of a sudden, it's you know them. You know more about them because they have now showed up. I want to tell you, this is what we got in the Old Testament. Thank God for the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the Word of God, no question, from Genesis all the way to Malachi in our Bible, you know. It's all God's Word. I believe it. It tells stories about things that really did happen. It was inspired by God, but it wasn't the full picture of God. It wasn't the complete picture of God. It talked about Him coming. It talked about Him showing up. It talked about Him coming to die for our sins. It prophesied where He'd be born and when He'd come and so on and so forth. But we didn't have the complete picture. It wasn't the complete picture. If all you have is the Old Testament, all you do is follow the Old Testament, you can't go to heaven. You'll never get saved. No one got saved under the Old Covenant. Are you with me? And no one got a perfect picture of God. Moses is a good man. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, I love them all. Are you with me? They were prophets of God, and this is God's Word. See, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. This is God's Word, no question. But we didn't have a complete full picture. We had stick figures. We had pen and inks, had some paintings. We might even have some photographs. But all of a sudden, when Jesus came, God showed up. And He cleared up a lot of confusion that you and I get. See, a lot of people look at a picture, and they get all kinds of ideas from a picture. You know, we get real spiritual. You know, what does this painting mean to you? Well, to me it means. And so everybody has a different meaning from looking at this picture. But when the man shows up, are you with me? That changes everything. And when Jesus showed up, we see God. We see the Word made flesh. This is what He was talking about. Jesus. He wasn't the one killing and stealing. He wasn't the one destroying. He wasn't the one behind all the bad stuff. He's doing all this good stuff. He's forgiving sinners. He's not trying to kill everybody that's in sin. He wants them to repent and come to Him. He's not the one that's doing all that. He's trying to get them to come, to turn, to receive them because He's love. Yeah. Amen. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Sure. When we die, we are going to either a bad place or a good place. And we got one shot at this deal. We need to give it all we got. We don't have another chance here. But God's not your problem. He's not your enemy. He's the lover of your soul. Are you with me? And He is the judge, and He will judge according to what you do, according to what you believe or don't believe. But He's not hitting you on the head. He's not the ogre with a stick. Some people have God as the policeman in the sky just passing out tickets every time they cross the yellow line, you know. But He's not that. He's not the ogre. He's not the... Are you out there? I'm having to go fast. I got 3 minutes left. But notice what it says here. Let's go a little further. In the 14th verse, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Now, you want to talk doctrine about what God does and doesn't do, let's go to Jesus. Are you with me? Because He is the Word made flesh. You say, well, Moses said, well, I'm sure Moses did say that. Did you know that they actually caught a woman in the very act of adultery? In John the 8th chapter, threw her down at Jesus' feet and said, with Scripture, the law says stone her, what do you say? They had the Word, they had Scripture, come on. But now Jesus is the Word made flesh. I always want to know, where is the man? They caught her in the act. Did they set her up? I mean, if she committed adultery, doesn't that mean there's somebody else involved? I'm just guessing. I'm thinking maybe there was somebody else involved. Religion's hard on a woman. Real hard on a woman. Threw it down there and says, the Bible says, the Word says, Moses said, the law says, stone her. And what do you say? And Jesus said, well, let him without sin cast the first stone. And they walked out, the Bible says, from the youngest to the oldest. I mean, from the oldest to the youngest. The oldest knew better. The youngest had pride. Took him a little longer. From the oldest to the youngest, they walked out. And Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none. She said, neither do I accuse you. See, God doesn't accuse. He's waiting for you to repent. He pulls. Yeah. He doesn't condone. He told the woman, He said, go and sin no more. Yeah. He doesn't condone sin. He's against sin. And I'm here to tell you, sin is wrong. But I love you and God loves you. And if you repent, we'll take you. Are you out there? Amen. Hey, they had Scripture. That's the point I'm making. And yet, Jesus was the full meaning of Scripture. God was more than law. In fact, that's what it says here in John 1. Notice what it says in the 17th verse. For the law was given through Moses. Y'all see that? And the law was from God, right? I mean, we know that, the Old Testament God. But there's something missing here. If Jesus hadn't come along, we just had the law, we still wouldn't have the whole truth about God. We wouldn't have the whole picture, because it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we never got the whole truth about God until Jesus showed up. Oh, can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
I'm doing better preaching. Y'all are amen it. So Jesus comes along and He is the whole truth, nothing but the truth. He's not a piece of God, a part of God, one side of God. He's not just showing us one flavor, you know, one. No, no, He's not a Jeremiah and Ezekiel and a Daniel. No, Jesus is God in the flesh. He wasn't just a prophet talking about Him. He wasn't just a good writer, good author, good man. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. And when He showed up, He gave us the full picture, the express image of God's person. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible says. And we are complete in Him.
Amen.
And if I follow Jesus rightly here, I don't see Him doing a lot of things that many of us as church people accuse God of. Oh, there's something wrong with the world, but it's not God. There's evil in the world, but it's not God. Hallelujah. How do you know that? Because of Jesus. Because in Jesus I got the truth. Woo! You know, I'm thinking of another case in Luke the 9th chapter. Okay, see, I'm closing. This is official. Okay. Just quoting a few more scriptures. Disciples came to Jesus. We ran across this guy who was casting devils out in your name. We asked him to come follow us and he wouldn't do it. Shall we call fire down like Elijah? And burn him up? You know, that's in the Bible. Go read, Elijah did that. There's lots of people I'd like to do that to. You know what Jesus said? He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. One translation says, you don't know what spirit you share. Now come on, people, listen. That's in the Bible. Elijah did that. And I believe he did it. The Bible says he did, I believe he did it. But Jesus comes along and he says, that's not the spirit we're of. The law said stoner. It's in there. You go read it. Moses did say that, but Jesus forgave the woman. Wow. You know, I think I'd rather hang around Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, you know, it gets hot when you're not around Jesus. It's rocky road. You get stoned and you get burnt up, you know. But with Jesus, there's forgiveness and there's love. And yes, there's holiness. We need to live holy. But we need to understand God is a good God. And we see that in Him. We see that in Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Over and over and over. And Jesus wasn't just giving us one side of God. This is not good cop, bad cop. You know, bad cop, Old Testament, good cop, new. No, Jesus is the full picture of God. He's not a half of God. He's not one side of God, the good side. No, He is God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He is the embodiment of the Word. This is the legend to the map. If you want to understand this map, you've got to go to the legend. And this legend, this map, is Jesus. You search the Scriptures, friend, even you think you have eternal life, but they have testified of Me, Jesus said, and you will not come to Me that you might have life. The Scripture won't save you. Jesus will. The Scripture will lead you to Jesus. And we need the Scripture. We need the map because we're lost without it. But the map just leads us to someone, and that someone is Jesus. I hope you know Him because He's the only one who can save you.
Amen.
Amen.